Good afternoon or good morning, wherever you're listening and whenever you're listening. It's a real pleasure to be able to give you the cheer. I'm sorry that I can't be there in person, and we're going to lose a little bit the interactive opportunity. But nevertheless, I think we're going to have to get used to a little bit doing this kind of cheer and speaking to each other in a more virtual format. What I'd like to do today, Mi'at Hashem, is we'll learn a little bit Torah review in preparation for Pesach. I know people might not be thinking too much in terms of Haggadah and Pesach, but I think that this is something that is actually very helpful, or could be very helpful. Let me tell you why. There is an Adar story from the Ramah. The Ramah in 1556 in Krakow was forced to leave Krakow for quite some time, and he went to Shidlov because of a plague. There was a plague in Krakow, and people couldn't stay in the town. They had to get out into the countryside. And he was stuck because of the plague there, and he didn't know what to do. He couldn't get to his father. He usually gave him Mishloach Manos. He couldn't get to him. So he decided the best thing he can do is write a Perush, learn some Torah. And he wrote a Perush called the Mechir Yain, which he then dedicated to his father. And he said to his father, this would be Bimkom Mishloach Manos, and this is the best he can do. But that opportunity that he was left alone in Shidlov with no other distractions for a little while gave him the opportunity to really create some Torah. And therefore, I think we're living in a very unusual, worrying, concerning times. But the opportunity to learn Torah is one we have to grasp. And in Yetz Hashem, we will be able to become strengthened through it and really move forward into Pesach. Despite all the distractions, which for sure will make a difference to us, nevertheless, we can deepen our understanding in Torah, and that will be something hopefully positive that we get out of the opportunity. So again, we're going to learn a little bit of Torah over the next few weeks. I hope to be able to give this shiur, three preparatory shiurim for Pesach, all dealing with issues towards Seder night, all halachic hashkafic issues. I picked three issues we haven't dealt with before. There's a lot of Torah from Pesach that we have in past years. We talked about kidneys, we talked about gebrochts, we talked about the kazayas, we talked about celiac issues and matzah, oat matzahs, etc. We've talked about many, many issues. And again, I recommend you go to the OU website. You'll be able to get most of those shiurim from there. But I'd like to deal with three new issues this year, which I personally find very exciting. They are, first of all, the issue of the fifth cup. Eliyahu and the quest for the fifth cup, which I want to deal with today. Next time I want to deal with the issue of wine, red wine, white wine, grape juice. There's a lot to talk about in terms of the symbolism of wine and the halachic ramifications of wine. And for the last year, for the third year, before Pesach, I'd like to deal with the issue of charoses. What's there to say about charoses, you would think? Not very much. Actually, there's an incredible amount to say about charoses. There's a lot of intrigue in charoses. The shiurim that we're hopefully going to have on that will prepare us a little bit for Pesach. So hopefully you have the sheets. I will be uploading the sheets so that people can actually get access to them. Look at the sources either online or print them out if you have a printer. What I'd like to look at here, if you have the sheet, is sheet 160, Wine and Seder Night, Part 1, Eliyahu on the Quest for the Fifth Cup. Let's have a little look at issues to do with the Arba Kosos. Let's start from the beginning. The Torah, of course, doesn't mention anything about drinking wine on Seder night. There are many Torah mitzvahs on Seder night. One is, of course, saying the Haggadah, teaching our children about Yetzias Mitzrayim, teaching ourselves. Another is eating matzah. Eating maror is now a mitzvah drabonon, but in times of the Mikdash was a mitzvah min haTorah. Eating Korban Pesach. There are many negative Torah mitzvahs to do with Pesach, Chometz, etc. But wine is not something that comes into it on a Torah level. However, the Mishnah already mentions, if you look at source number one, please, afilu anishebi Yisrael, even a poor person, a poor Jewish person, lo yoichal ad she yasev, he has to make sure that he leans, he or she, and of course the mitzvah of leaning for women is another issue which we dealt with in a great length. We had a shiur on that a year or two ago. It's on the website. So even a poor person must lean. V'lo yifchatu lo mi'arba kosa shel yayin. And they may not provide them. Who are they? The gabayim, who give out the food for the poor. Kimcha de pischa, before Pesach, and money to buy stuff, they may not give them less than 4 cups of wine. Afilu mina tamchui. Even if they're receiving money from the tamchui. The tamchui is the food kitchen. meaning these are people on subsistence levels, rations, that are getting the minimum that we need to give them from the community. They have to have 4 cups of wine on Seder night as well, and of course 2 nights Seder, they have to have 4 cups of wine on each night. So that is quite remarkable in and of itself, that even the poorest of the poor have to have wine on that night. And we'll see next week, grape juice was not an option. They did not have grape juice in April. It was just not on the cards. They could have made raisin juice maybe, but grape juice was not an option for them. We'll talk about that next time, please God. But the Gemara in number 2, the Yerushalmi actually, the Bavli doesn't deal with this directly, but the Yerushalmi says, Minayin la'arba kosos. Where did we get this idea of the 4 cups from? So the Gemara gives 4 reasons. Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Benoi, Keneged Arba Geulot. This is the famous reason that we all know. There are 4 expressions of Geulot, or maybe there are 4 stages of redemption. Also, there's something to talk about on Seder night. L'chein ona l'bnei Yisrael, ani Hashem v'hoitzeisi etzchem v'lakachti etzchem v'goymer. And of course, it's all in the v'goymer, the end of the pasuk, which we'll see soon in the actual pasukim. V'hoitzeisi v'hitzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti. 4 expressions, I will take you out from Egypt, I will save you, I will redeem you, and I will take you to myself. Each of these expressions of Geula gets its own l'chaim. A toast to this one, that one, the other one, and the 4th one. That's the 1st reason given in the Gemara. The 2nd, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Onei, can you get arba kosos shel paro? 4 cups of paro in Sefer Bereishis, v'kais paro v'yadi, that's 1, v'ekach et ha'anavim, v'eschat oisam el kais paro, that's number 2, v'eten el kais ha'kap paro, number 3, v'natata kais paro v'yado. 4 cups of paro, I'm not going to get now into all of the symbolism of why Yosef and paro, obviously paro is related to Egypt, but that's the 2nd reason given by the Gemara. The 3rd reason, Rabbi Levi Omer, k'neged arba malchuyos, there were 4 kingdoms that put us into Galut, sent us into exile. They are, of course, Babel, Persia, Greece, and the Romans. And these 4 kingdoms are represented by the 4 kosos yain. That's the 3rd reason given. For Rabbanan Amri, Keneged Dalet Kosos Shel Puranos. There are 4 cups of destruction that come. Shaykodesh Baruch Hu Asid La'ashkait Et Umat Ha'olam. Is in the judgment on the nations who have oppressed the Jewish people. There are 4 cups mentioned in various places in Tehillim, etc. Kenegdam, Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'ashkod Et Yisrael Arba Kosos Shel Nechamas. And there are 4 cups of consolation coming up. Again, the idea of exile and redemption, Galut v'Geula, obviously very, very focused on Seder night. And the 4 cups of consolation, Hashem menat chelki v'kosi, Hashem is my portion, my cup. Yishanta b'shem in roshi, koisi revaya, my cup overflows. The hadin, and then these last 2, kois yishuois esa, the cup of redemption, plural, train is 2, so that's 4 cups altogether of consolation. So, we see the number 4 represented in these 4 different reasons, the 4 expressions of Geula, the 4 kosos of Paro with Yosef, the 4 nations that have oppressed the Jewish people, and finally the 4 cups of destruction and redemption and consolation. The question is there a 5th in any of these? Now, with Yosef and Paro, there isn't really a 5th. With the 4 nations that oppressed us, there could be a 5th. And I put this in the footnote, you could either include Egypt at the beginning, or you could include Gog and Magog at the end. But in terms of the 4 expressions of redemption, there is a very famous 5th. If you go over the page, please, to page 2, let's have a look at this together. Look at the psukim with me, number 3. L'chein emol ebnei Yisrael ani Hashem. So this is what you have to tell the Jewish people, says God to Moshe. V'hoitzeisi etchem mitachas divlo v'Yisrael, that's 1. V'alei v'hitzalti etchem me'avodatam, I've saved you, I will save you from the slavery. V'ga'alti etchem bezron etuya b'shvatim gedolim. V'lakachti etchem, that's the 4th, I will take you, lila'am. V'hayisi lachem le'lokim, now that could be a 5th, I will be a God for you. V'yudatim ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, amotzei etchem mitachas divlo v'Yisrael. V'heveti etchem, and that's more obviously because it's an action, V'heveti etchem, I will bring you el ha'aretz asher nasati et yadi latet otzal Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. I will bring you to the land that I promised to give the Jewish people. V'natati otzal lachem, and I will give it to you. That could be another one. Morasha ani Hashem. This 5th expression, and again, we've seen a few that we could choose from. The Heveti is the one that we need to focus on. Incidentally, in the psukim that we darshan, which are from Mikra Bakurim, the psukim that we darshan in the whole, in Haggadah, in the middle of the Haggadah, so there is a fifth there as well, which is a parallel fifth. Looking number four for a second, Va'anita Va'amata, the psukim that we know, Arami Ovid Avi, though my father was a wandering Aramean, all love and tried to destroy my father, etc. The second posuk, Va'yereyu Otanu HaMitzrim, the third posuk, Va'nitzakel Hashem Elokei Yi Avoseinu, the fourth posuk, Va'yotzeinu Hashem HaMitzrayim V'yad Chazakah, V'zeronu Tuyam, O'Rav G'dom V'Oseis HaMosim. There it ends. But there's a fifth right after, V'yavi'enu El HaMokam Hazer, and God has brought us to this place. The same fifth posuk that we see, the Heveti, if that's the one we go with, in the promise to Moshe Rabbeinu, is also reflected here, Vayavienu, the same verb, Lahavi, Vayavienu Hel Elamokim, and this is obviously not coincidental. This fifth posuk, which is there lurking, if people know the psukim, which of course they'd be expected to know, is the posuk that's there that we didn't say at the Seder. So the question is, does this have any relevance or impact on the four cups of wine? We'll see in a minute, it definitely does. Now, every single kais on the Seder night has something connected with it. So the first kais is Kiddush, that's the mitzvah of Kiddush. The second kais is the Haggadah, the mitzvah saying the Haggadah. So look at number five. Says the Mishnah, Mazgul HaKais Shlishi. So we pour a third cup, Mavarech Al HaMazonah. So that's Birkas HaMazon. That's the mitzvah of benching on the third cup. Revi, we pour the fourth cup. What do? Gomer alav es halel. We complete halel, because we started halel before the meal, before Shulchan Orech. We complete halel, we say full halel. Ve omer alav birkas hashir. And there's another thing. This fourth cup seems to have more than one thing on it. And we say birkas hashir. The bracha on the shir. What is that? Says number six, Psochem. The Gemara says, my Birkas Hashir. What is Birkas Hashir? So there's a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yahalelucha Hashem Elokeinu. Yahalelucha. Yahalelucha is how we normally end Halel. Melech Mu'ulal B'tishvachos. It's the bracha at the end. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Nishmas Kol Chai. That's interesting. It's got nothing to do with the regular Halel. Nishmas, of course, is in our davening. We say Nishmas Kol Chai. Tana Rabbanon, and then there's a new brisa, Revi Gomer Alav Es HaHalel. Not only do we have to say Halel and Birkas Hashir, V'Oimer Halel HaGadol. And now apparently this fourth cup is getting a lot of different things on it, which is also unusual because usually we say in Einos in Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos, we don't pile up mitzvahs on the same kais. V'Oimer Halel HaGadol. We say the great Halel, which of course is Hodul Hashem Kitov Kili Olam Chazdor. Divi Rabbi Tarfon, that's Rabbi Tarfon's view. V'yesh Omrim, and there is another view, we call them the Yesh Omrim from now on. Hashem Roi Loy Echzar. That Hashem Roi Lechzar, there's Psalm 23, Mizmor David, that we say on the fourth cup as well. So this fourth cup is getting a lot of action. We're saying Halel, which is called Halel HaMitzri, or the Halel that we normally say in Shul. We're finishing that Halel, we're saying Birkas Hashir, we're saying Nishmas Kol Chai. And we're potentially saying that. We're potentially saying Halel HaGadol. Maybe instead of that, Mizmor LeDavid. What's going on with this? Now, there's no hint in the Gemara, if you just read these words in the Gemara, that there's any issue here. The first hint of a problem comes when you look at Rashi. Let's look at Rashi in number 7. It says Rashi. At the beginning of the Gemara here, where it says the fourth cup. It says, Hachi Garsinon. Now, Hachi Garsinon is a hint that there is an alternative girsa. Hachi Garsinon means the girsa that you should have as opposed to the one I don't want you to have. The correct one is Ruvi Goyme Alav Es HaHalel. On the fourth cup, you finish Halel. Now, what's the girsa that he doesn't like? He doesn't say. But Tosfos does. Number 8. Ruvi Goyme Alav Halel HaGadol. When it's said, on the fourth cup, you say Halel HaGadol. Says Tosfos, Revi Garsinan, Veloy Garsinan Chamishi. And this is the first time, at least in this year, that we've seen the fifth cup. We don't have a fifth cup? Meaning you might have thought, and there is a Girsa, we'll see, a very significant Girsa, a version of the Gemara, which says, no, Halel HaGadol is not on the fourth cup. Halil Mitzri. Hamitzri is on the fourth cup. The regular Halil, and Brikas Hashir is on the fourth cup. Halil HaGadol is on the fifth cup. You need a new cup. So Tosafot then quotes, and Tosafot says that's not correct. We don't say that. We say four cups and only four cups. Then he quotes Rav Yosef Bonfis, Rav Yosef Tov Ilem in Hebrew means Bonfis, means a good son. Says Im Chaylehu, what is this fifth cup? If someone is sick or istinis, or if they're very sensitive, Vivoy Mishte Chamra, and they need to drink more wine. Some people need more wine. Misham Einet. Whatever it's hard for us to exactly relate to why you might need a fifth cup of wine because of Ines. So Lo Bechamishi Halil HaGadol. According to Rav Yosef Tov Ilem, the fifth cup is an option. There is such a thing as a fifth cup, but it's only if you need it. If you need to drink another cup, it wasn't enough that you had four cups of wine, big cups of wine potentially. You need to drink a fifth cup of wine, so then you can put Halil HaGadol on the fifth cup. Says Taylor. This is very strange. Kevan Sha'atalish Tais. First of all, he says, isn't there something you're not allowed to drink after the Afikayman? You're not allowed to drink more wine? Where does this fifth cup come from? Meaning, how can you have an optional cup? The four cups are compulsory. We know that from the Mishnah. So there you're allowed to drink after the Afikayman. But fifth? Ha'arba Kais is Tiknu B'lechamishi. There's no takana of five cups, so I don't understand how you'd be allowed to drink as an option. What is Tosfos coming to combat? The answer is, you wouldn't know it from our Gemara, but actually the majority text, the majority of Ga'onim and certainly Sephardi Rishonim did have a text that said the fifth cup. Have a look here, number 9. The version of Rav Amram God is as follows. Tanya, Chamishi Oima Alav Halel HaGadol. On the fifth cup, this is the Gersa that Rashi and Tosfos did not want. On the fifth cup, he said, "Halo Gadol, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon's view, v'yesh amrim Hashem roi lo echsar." And in fact, Rav Menachem Kasha in his Haggadah Shalema lists that this is the majority Gersa of the Gaonim. Rav Sadi gone, Rav Amram gone, Rav Moshe gone, Rav Sar Shalom gone, Rav Kohen Tzedek gone. It is also in the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chananel in the Rif. In Rashi, in the Sefer HaParades, not Rashi on the Gemara, in the Rambam, we'll see soon, the Maram Chalawa, the Meiri, and many others. It's even in the Bavli, in textual variants, if you look in the Kitzvei Yad and the Bavli, Rav Menachem Kasha brings various different medieval manuscripts of the Bavli that also use this expression, Chamishi, rather than Revi. So actually, this is a very mainstream view, not a fringe view, that you have a fifth cup. If you go over to page 3, look at Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel, when it's quoted on the side of the Gemara, he says, Tana Rabbanon, Chamishi Omer Alav Halel HaGadol, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. And the printer changed it. It looks better if you look at the original. Look at the daf there in Psachim Kuf Yud Chet. The printer changed it to Revi. Because the printer didn't understand how Rabbeinu Chananel could have said Chamishi. They assumed that it was a mistake. Of course, it wasn't a mistake. At least they left in the original. They didn't just scrub the word Chamishi. Rabbeinu Chananel did, in fact, say Chamishi. Why would there have been people who had a problem with the fifth cup? A few reasons. First of all, because there are problems adding kosas. Look at number 11. The Gemara says, Ben kosas halada, between the first and second cup, in Rosh Halishtos, you can drink more wine. And now, our minag, by the way, is not to drink wine between the first and second cup, i.e. during the recitation of the Haggadah. We'll see why in a minute. But according to many, many poskim, you can drink other things. There are people who don't drink between the first and the second cup, i.e. during the whole Haggadah. And if your Haggadah goes on for a long time, that is a long time not to drink anything. And in fact, many poskim, including my own, have ruled that one can drink tea, one can drink coffee, certainly soda, salsa, water, in order to keep people awake. It's good to keep people a bit of caffeine during the Haggadah. It really makes a big difference. So that, in theory, you can even drink wine, although we don't do that. But Ben Shlishi Ravi, we don't. We can't. We don't do that. Why not? So the answer is, he's looking the Rosh here. Because Rishon Vasheni, Im Loi Shasa Vaseba, Yachsov Yishta Vaseba. That's an interesting question. If you drink the first or second cup and you forget to lean. Now, men have a chiyuv to lean, but there is an opinion of the Rav Yah, the Rav Yah says that you don't have to lean bisman hazeh. You don't have to lean today. So during, if you forget to lean for the first or the second cup, so there's no downside in drinking another cup because, you know, you can anyway in theory drink between the first and the second and between the second and the third. So drink another cup and that's the halacha. You should drink again. A man should drink again and lean. Aval b'kosh shlishi or revi im yishta yotze nira kamotif ala kosh. The halacha is if you forget to lean for the second and the third cups, it's not so straightforward to drink more cups. Maybe there we should be machmir, we should restrict, rely on the opinion of the Rav Yah that says you don't have to drink. Why? Because nira kamotif ala kosh. People think the Rav Yah is a leniency. Here it's being used as a stringency. Since there are people that say you don't have to drink more, maybe it's prohibited because you don't want to be seen to be adding cups. There's a takana of four cups. Four cups is four, not five. And therefore, motif alakosis is a problem. So that's another reason why it could be Rashi Tosfos and the Rashbam, we'll see the Ashkenazim, are unhappy to bring an extra cup in. Also, if you look in the Mordechi, number 13, he brings the Yerushalmi that says, at the end here, the Yerushalmi Mefarish Tam, the reason we don't want to give more cups, drink more cups, is the lo yishta mishum shema yishtaker. You may get drunk. And that's not Purim Suda. There's no mitzvah to be getting drunk, assuming there is for Purim Suda either, but that's not for now. We also had a share on that. Seder night, one has to be careful. There's a lot of mitzvahs to do. We have to be masafi yisir to Mitzrayim. Drinking more wine, he says, is potentially a bad idea. So four cups only, four and not five. Okay, fine. Where are we up to? So we saw that the Ga'onim, the Sfardi Rishonim, had this girsa that you should drink, you should have five cups. The Ashkenazim said, no, four cups. Says the Rosh, the following, look at number 14. He says, V'rashbam goris revi. The Rashbam says, four cups only. Fine. Omnim alava, halal ha'gadol. Fine. The Kot Chamishim, mandakashmei. Whoever mentioned a fifth cup? And he says, now listen, V'im baloima Kot Chamishim reshuz. If you want to argue that the fifth cup is an optional, like we saw Rav Yosef Tov Ilem, im yitzi yasi Kot Chamishim. If you want, have a fifth cup. If you don't, then don't. No, that can't be right. Hachahavile lemeima. He would have said something different in the Gemara. He would have said, Haroitzi la'asos Kot Chamishim. If you want to have a fifth cup, Omer alav halel agadol. Then you say halel agadol. That's not what it says. Aval if he gives us a svarim, mashman the Rebbe Tarfan, the yeshayimrim, kos chamishi hu habalei chayva. It sounds like it should be an obligation to drink the fifth cup if you hold by the fifth cup. Not, to have, just one as an optional cup. The nagah ha'olam lasos rishus. Look what he says, the minag is. The minag is, as far as he's concerned, that we drink four as an obligation, and the fifth potentially is an option, even though he just asked the cash on that. He said, it doesn't sound like that from the Gemara. He says, nevertheless, it sounds like maybe there's an option to drink a fourth cup. And at the end he says, a fifth cup, excuse me. And at the end then he says, what about drinking after the Afikoman? No, not a problem. The problem is eating after the Afikoman, not drinking after the Afikoman. So according to the Rosh, it's optional to have a fifth cup. Now, just start putting this together. We'll see soon. The Rif says to have a fifth cup. The Rambam says to at least pour a fifth cup. The Rosh is okay with having a fifth cup. What would we expect the Shulchan Aruch to be paskening in these circumstances? Remember, the Shulchan Aruch follows the majority of the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam. And we've seen all three of them are positive about having a fifth cup. So we'll see in a minute what you think the Shulchan Aruch is going to say. The Ravid, you should know, the Ravid comes in and says, actually, the fifth cup is more serious than people think. Look at number 15. This is quoted in the Orchus Chaim. The Ravid says, the Ravid zal kasam kasinu b'Yerushalmi dalet kosas halavu kineged dalet gulos. He brings the Yerushalmi, we saw that the four cups are parallel to the four expressions of Geula. Shenemru b'Mitzrayim, v'hoiseiti v'choli. V'Rebbe Tarfon, who may be chamishi, Rebbe Tarfon wants you to drink a fifth cup kineged v'hei besi. And he says it explicitly, that the fifth cup is keneged, which, and again, the fifth cup was required, it seems, by the Gaonim and the Sfaradim, because there's a fifth expression of Ge'ula. In number 16, the Bala Ma'or says four cups, and again, the Ravid comes in and says, look at the third line in the Rashi script, there is clearly a support for the minna to drink five cups. It is a mitzvah to drink five cups, not an option. The four cups of the four expressions we saw, just think he puts them in a different order there. The hahei and the fifth cup, kfar samchu behagadi kineged ve'avesi. And if you want to turn around and say, but doesn't the Mishnah say four cups? How can we be drinking five cups? The Mishnah said four. The Tanakama nami. And according to the other opinion, the first opinion, lo yifchatu lo midalekosis kama. What did the Mishnah say? You mustn't have less than four cups. Aval hamoisif aleim chamishi hari ze meshubach. He says, if you want to add a fifth cup, hari ze meshubach. That is praiseworthy, and therefore the Ravid is very positive about the idea of the fifth cup. And not just the Ravid, look at the Ram. Over to page 4, number 17. The Ram quotes two approaches to the fifth cup. He says, the Kula Pigrim is the Dalek Kosin Ninvaloi Chamisha. He says, the Gemara we have, of course, says, four cups, not five cups. And a Vadik Farah Ga'inem Zalba. He quotes the Ga'inem. He says, Dalek Kosin Chayva. Four cups are obligatory for Chamishi Rushus. And the fifth cup is optional. We saw that as one of the approaches. The Imrata Lishdois Omer Alav Halel HaGadol. And if you want, you can drink this five cups, the fifth cup, and say Halel HaGadol on it. Here he doesn't say, like we saw in Rav Yosef Bonfis, he doesn't say if you're an Ines or if you're thirsty, whatever. He says, no, it's optional. You can drink it if you want. Inami, then the Ram brings an alternative. The Ram's in 14th century Spain. The mitzvah min amufcha lishtoit kos chamishi. He says that actually it is mitzvah in its ideal form to drink a fifth cup. The loimer alav halel agadol, and to say halel agadol on the fifth cup. Hainu lishna da oimer alav halel agadol. Okay, that's what it means when it says you say halel agadol on the fifth cup. So chayin matin divrei harambam, and he's vakach matin divrei harambam, and he feels that actually this is the position of the Rambam as well, which is very interesting, because we'll see soon, right now, that the Rambam does mention the fifth cup, but he says it seems to be a mitzvah to have the fifth cup, but not necessarily to drink it, although the Rambam is not entirely clear. Okay, where are we so far? Clearly the Ashkenazim have the Girsa, the Rashi, the Tosfos, the Rashbam, that it's four cups, and they want to maintain four cups and not five. The Ga'anim and the Sfaradi Rishonim, we saw the Rif, the Ravid, the Ravid was Provence between Ashkenaz and Sfarad. You'll see the Rambam right now. The Ran we saw, they are much more positive about the fifth cup. Menachem Kasha suggests maybe this was a machlokes between the two major yeshivas in Babel, between Sura and Pumpadisa, as to whether to have four or five cups. But actually he suggests no, maybe all the yeshivas in Babel, both yeshivas used five cups, and certainly that seems to be the case in the Ga'onim. There is a side issue, by the way, that the Gemara, the Bavli, has an issue with Zugos. How could we possibly have pairs, have an even number of cups on Seder night? This is a concern the Bavli has, the Yerushalmi doesn't have. The Bavli is usually more concerned with issues of shadim, of demons, of mystical, spiritual negativity. The Yerushalmi is much less concerned with that. We had a whole shir on Ayin Hara, and we saw it was a Bavli-focused issue. The fact that the Bavli is worried about Zugos does seem to indicate that they didn't have five cups. Otherwise, why would they be worried about Zugos? Because once you have five cups, you don't have Zugos. Okay, that's a kasha, it's a question. Clearly the Ga'inim do talk about five cups. Other people want to suggest, I've seen this in a few places, that maybe in Eretz Yisrael during temple times they only had five cups. But after the Churban they went down to four, which is why we see the four cups reflected in the Mishnah. But other people were still focused on five because of the davening, if you like, for Geula, that they wanted to retain the fifth cup in a kind of positive vein. That's a little bit difficult because the Mishnayos seem to go back two temple times. The Mishnayos talks about the questions at the Haggadah, the Arba, the four questions which deal with Korban Pesach. So unless, of course, you argue that they ate Korban Pesach even after the Churban, which is another possibility, and we had a whole shir about that as well. But I'm just bringing that in now. Arguing that they had five cups at the time of the Mikdash is something you'd need to bring some proof for, although I have seen people suggest this idea. Let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam in number 18 says as follows. Fine. Then you bench, you drink the third cup, very good. Then you have the fourth cup, you pour out the fourth cup. But go ma'alav is a halal, you say halal, great. But I ma'alav birkas hashir, and you say birkas hashir, this is all straight out of the Mishnah and the Gemara. The hi alalucha Hashem kom asecha, and he paskens that that's yalalucha, more about that in a minute, the end of halal, melech mehula b'tishpachot. U'mavarech brei prer gofen, and then you say brei prer gofen on the fourth cup. All fine and dandy. The ain't a time achakach klum. And he says you should not drink or eat anything after that. Kol alayla, chutz min amayim. He's very clear, no more wine either. But yeshlo limzog means, I think yeshlo limzog means not you can, but you should pour a fifth cup. V'loyma alav halal agadol. And that fifth cup, you're never going to drink it, says the Rambam. But you're going to say halal over it. V'hu mihadul Hashem kitav ad al naros bavel. Which is interesting because we don't say al naros bavel these days. Because se einu chova, you don't have to have this in the same way k'moy arba kosis. Meaning, he doesn't say it's not a chova at all. He said it's not a chova in the way that the first four are chova, but it sounds from the Rambam that you should do it, but you don't drink it. So the Rambam seems to say you have a fifth cup that you don't drink. The Bet Yosef, I'm not going to read through now, in number 19, he basically says that even though the Sfardi was shown him, and again, let's just go through them again, the Rif, the Rambam, the Ran, Ravid we saw from Provence, the Gaonim as well from before, say a fifth cup, the Minag in Spain in his time, the end of the 15th century, he of course is was expelled from Spain, one of the Gerushei Sfarad, is not to have a fifth cup. And he says that's because their text of the Talmud was the Rashbam's text of the Talmud that only had mention of four cups. And then he says even those people who say there is a fifth cup, they don't think it's a requirement, it's not a mitzvah, it's only a reshus. Although we've seen that there are others, specifically the Ravid, but possibly also the Rambam, that say no, it's not just a reshus, it's something which one should do. Now, let's just pause it there for a second. There is another question which has to be woven into this, which is this Birkas Hashir issue. What is the Birkas Hashir? So we saw already before that there is a debate about what Birkas Hashir specifically is. Anybody who is can remember this from Seder night will probably realize that you get to a certain point in the Haggadah just after you finish Hallel, and all of a sudden everybody says, that's not what's in my Haggadah. People start singing Nishmas, other people say, well, it doesn't say that in my Haggadah, it says Yalalucha, and other people say, well, 1 second, my Haggadah ends with Melech Mola B'Tishbachos, and other people say, well, hang on, my Haggadah ends with Yishtabach. Why is everybody all of a sudden on a different page? And that is because there are two major, at least two, probably more like four, major minhagim about how exactly Birkas Hashir works. I brought you a tour at number 20. The tour is quite long and complicated. I'm not going to read through the whole tour. But he basically links the issue of the fifth cup with which bracha you make at the end. Let me explain. If you go over to the top of page 5, I've brought down the different options that you have about what to do at the end. So there are basically four options. Either you can end, you have to say Hallel, so either you can end with Yalalucha and the bracha Baruch Ata Hashem Melech Muhulal B'Tishpachot, so that's the end of Hallel. Or since you're saying Nishmat, you can end with the bracha Habocher B'Shirei Zimra Melech Keil Chei Ha'olamim, which is the normal ending for Yishtabach, Nishmat and Yishtabach. Or maybe you could end with two brachot. What does two brachot mean? Two brachot means maybe you could do both, Melech Mo'olah B'Tishbachot, and at the end of Nishmat, Melech Keil Chei Ha'olamim. Or maybe you could end both with Melech Mo'olah B'Tishbachot. Now, obviously, if you're only using four cups, if you're only having that fourth cup and you're doing everything on that, then it's extremely difficult to see how you would make two brachas on the fourth cup. I'm not talking about Brei Pri Hagafen, I'm talking about the brachas that you say in terms of the Hallel. If, of course, you have a fifth cup, then you'd have more options. You could make, for example, Melech Mu'ulal B'Tishbachot at the end of Hallel, the regular Hallel, on the fourth cup, and then you could say Hallel HaGadol, Hodul Hashem Kitov Kili Olam Chatzo, Nishmat Yishtabach, and end HaBochei B'Shirei Zimra, Melech Keil Chei Olamim, on the fifth cup. Now, the Ashkenazi minag is to say, of course, we don't have five cups, most of us. We're getting back to that at the end. The Ashkenazi minag is to say, Hallel Mitzrayim Yehallelucha without a bracha. Then Hallel HaGadol, that's Tehillim Kuf Lamed Vav. Nishmas Yishtabach, and to end Melech El Chei Ho'olamim. The Sfarim minag, and Nusach Sfarj, even with Ashkenazim, is to say, Hallel, not Yehallelucha, then Hallel HaGadol, Nishmas Yishtabach without a bracha, and then Yehallelucha, and end with the bracha Melech Mehulal B'Tishba Chayz. So you can see already, it's quite a complicated issue, and that's why people end up sometimes with a little bit of an issue as to what to do at the end, because everyone's Haggadah seems to be saying something slightly different. So you can see here, hopefully, how the fifth cup impact, potentially at least, on this issue of the bracha at the end. Now, what does the Shulchan Aruch pasken? Let's have a look at number 21. Now, what would you expect the Shulchan Aruch to pasken? Now, I would have expected the Shulchan Aruch to say, look, Yesh Omrim, four cups, Yesh Omrim, five cups, maybe to bring the Rambam, pour the fifth cup, don't drink it. The Shulchan Aruch does not mention the fifth cup at all. This is a Pella. The Machaber just says, number 21, Acha Arba Kosef, after you've had four cups, Einot Rishai Lishdot Yayin. You may not drink any more wine, Elamayim. Just water. No reference of a fifth cup. Rav Menachem Kasher is completely beside himself. He says, I don't understand. All the Klale Hapsak seem to indicate the Shulchan Aruch should mention, at least mention, Yeshon Rim, the fifth cup. Nope, he just brings down the Ashkenazi Minag of Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rashbam to have four cups. The Ramah, interestingly, the Ashkenazi mentions v'chol amashkim dinu kiyayin. Okay, it says other drinks you can't have as well. Don't drink tea and coffee, etc. Well, Misha who is the Nes, he mentions the Bali Atosfas, the idea of Yosef Tov Ilem, that if you're an Istanis or Tav Harbe, you're really thirsty, lishdod yochal lishdod kos chamish v'yom alav halal gadol. Fine, you could have a fifth cup if you want it, but actually the fifth cup is not mentioned anywhere there. And indeed, the minhag in Ashkenaz, I brought you the Maharshal from Poland, number 22, says, Loi na ginam hachi ha'idna la'asois chamisha kaisis. We don't have a minhag to have five cups. And so on, that is the Ashkenazi minhag, four cups only. Now, everyone's thinking that I haven't mentioned the obvious. The fifth cup is kais shel Eliyahu. Everybody knows that there's a kais shel Eliyahu. Well, you may be surprised to know that Kosher Elio is not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara, not mentioned anywhere in the mainstream Rishonim. The first mention of Kosher Elio is by someone called Rav Zeligman Binger, who I hadn't really come across properly until I researched this. Rav Zeligman Binger is the son-in-law of the Maharil. The Maharil, Rav Yaakov Merlin, who is one of the main codifiers of Ashkenazi Minag in the 15th century, late Rishonim. And don't forget, the late Ashkenazi Rishonim, like the Maharil and the Mari Mintz, they don't really compete with the early Ashkenazi Rishonim. They don't really consider themselves Rishonim in the same way as Rashi, Tosfos, etc. Really, the Rosh is the end of the Ashkenazi Rishonim. Maybe the Tur, of course, is a crossover into Spain as well. But these later Rishonim, Rav Zeligman Binger is the first one to mention. He's also the son of the Sefer Tzioni, Rav Menachem Tzion, a very interesting person himself who has a lot to say about Rav Yudah Chassid. That's not right now. But the Kaishel Eliyahu comes as an Ashkenazi minag, and seems to be what's happened is that the fifth cup debate as to should we or should we not have a fifth cup that we saw was very, very vibrant in the Rishonim has been morphed into the Kais Shel Eliyahu, which stands on our table. The Ramah doesn't mention Kais Shel Eliyahu directly. He says 23, Yesh Omrim Sheyesh Lam Shveicha Mascha. There's a minhag to say Shveicha Mascha. Kaidem Loilanu, before we start with Hallel, after the meal, the Liptayach HaPetach, and to open up the door, Kidei Liskot Ulel Shimurim, to remember that we're not scared, Ubischus Emunazah, because of the Emunah that we have in Kodesh Baruch Hu, that will redeem us, Yavo Mashiach, and Mashiach will come, Yishpok HaMasah, Al HaMach Chishem, and there will be a day of reckoning for those that denied that, Machshim Bashem, V'chei Noagim, and that's the minute to open the door. Now, we're not opening the door for Eliyahu specifically, according to the Ramah. We're opening the door for Shvach HaMaskai Shnel Shimurim. Now, there may be, you should know, a much more ancient minag for reason for opening the door. There was a halacha bizman HaMikdash that the Korban Pesach had to be eaten in one place, in one chabura, in one group. You were not allowed to leave the room. Once you left the room, you were already not allowed now to come back and eat the Korban Pesach. The doors were locked. After the Korban Pesach, the doors were thrown open and people would go onto the roof to sing Hallel. They're talking about the temple times. And it could be that our minhag to open the door just before Hallel is a very ancient vestigial remain, if you like, of this minhag that we used to have thousands of years ago, that we would leave the room after eating Korban Pesach and we would go up to the roof to sing Hallel. Very interesting idea, that. The Mishnah Brura, number 24, says, we open the door, the Ein Midyarim Mishum Davar, we're not scared of anything, for Noigin Ba'elo Medinus Lin, so Kais Echad. He then brings the minhag, he's not the first to mention it, but he brings the minhag of Kais Eliyahu, Yoitem Abisubim, one more Kais than the people that are there, for Kainos Akosh Eliyahu Anavi, and that's the Kais of Eliyahu, Nirmoz as a hint, She'anu ma'aminim, we believe she'kashem she'galanu Hashem yisparach b'mitzrayim, hu yigalanu oit v'yishlach lanu et Eliyahu levasreinu, that Hashem will send us Eliyahu and Novi at the end of days. Why is that fifth cup called Kais Shel Eliyahu? Now, of course, one reason is because that fifth cup represents for us the idea of a geula shalema v'heivesi, the ultimate redemption, the coming of Mashiach, who will be preceded by Eliyahu. That's why Eliyahu is connected with this fifth cup. The Vilna Gaon brings another idea. If you go over to page 6, please, source number 25, the Vilna Gaon says, it's brought down here in the Sefer Minhagim, in Yanni Pesach. So the Vilna Gaon here mentions here, Tam leminag she mozgin kos chamishi v'koyinos kosh Eliyahu. Why do we call this kosh Eliyahu Anavi? V'shum de ikap lukta. Because there is a major machlokas for Gemara in Tzrichin kos chamishi. Do we need the fifth cup or not? We've seen this. The law is the ka'al ilchata. We don't know what the halacha is exactly. It's left as a question. U'kushiyava Eliyahu yisbara ha-safek. It's the kosh Eliyahu because Eliyahu will be the one that will resolve the question as to should we have five cups or four cups. I came mostly in a case misafek, therefore we pour the case from question of doubt. Then shows in us, but we don't drink it because maybe it'll be motivated like kaisas and eat after the afikoman, etc. Maybe we'll get drunk. But koronos a kosher eliyahu ki bavo yisbaru kol tzveikas gam sof exact. That's the gra. Very, very interesting. What is the connection of specifically Eliyahu at the Seder? So this, I think, is a beautiful idea which is well known. Eliyahu Anavi is running away from Izebel, who's threatened to kill him. It says that he comes to the desert, source number 26, Vayavo Sham El Hamara, he comes to hide in a cave, Vayalim Sham, Vehine Dvar Hashem Elav, God speaks to Eliyahu, Vayom Elo, Malach Apo Eliyahu, what are you doing here? Vayom, and he says, Kano Kaneti La Hashem Elokei Tzvakot, I have been zealous, I am a zealot, twice, Kano Kaneti. And then he speaks of the Jewish people, and he says, Ki azvu b'rischa b'nei Yisrael, because the Jewish people are broken. They've abandoned your Brit. Ve'et mizbechesecha harasu, and they have destroyed your mizbeach. Ve'et nevi'echa hargu b'charev, and they've killed your nevim. Ve'vate ani levadi, and I'm the only one left. Ve'vakshu et nafshi lekachta, and they're trying to kill me too. He says, that's it, the Jewish people have had it. They've lost, they've abandoned the Brit. They're trying to destroy everything that they had. Say Chazal, Pikid Rebbe Yezer, in number 27, Nigla Alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem appears to Eliyahu, Va'amem Malach HaPo Eliyahu. Why are you here? Amar lo kanei kaneti, kano kaneti. I've been zealous, multiple times. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Midrash, Hashem says to Eliyahu, Why are you always so zealous? Kaneta b'shitim, you were zealous in shitim. Agilu I arise because of the sin of the Moabite women. Shneema Pinchas ben Elazar, of course Pinchas connected with Eliyahu. V'chama tamakana, you're still being zealous now? Chayecha. I swear, says Hashem in the Midrash, She'ein Yisrael oisim brith mila ashe atah roi beinecha. You who have said that the Jewish people have abandoned the Brit, you will have to be there for every single Brit. Every Brit that they do, every Brit mila, you will be there to see it. Mikan, itzkin chachamim shiyu oisim moshe of kovad lemalach abrit. That's why the chachamim, and this is in the enshrined in halacha in Shulchan Aruch, there has to be kiseh shel Eliyahu at a brit mila. The Malach is coming, the Malach HaBris. Pasuk in Malachi. Elokei Yisrael yachish v'yaviv v'chayenu Mashiach l'nachameinu, Hashem will bring Mashiach. Yichadish levaveinu, he'll give us renewal, sh'ne'emah v'yishiv lev avos albonim. The idea of Eliyahu who restores the Jewish people, the shalom of the Jewish people together. The connection with the Brit Milah, says the Midrash, is from this idea. Now, it's a very small leap in order to connect that not only with the Brit Milah, but with the Brit of Dam Pesach. And if you look, I'm not going to read it through now in detail, but in the Shtei Alechem, Rav Moshe Hagis from the 18th century in Eretz Yisrael, he very clearly makes that leap, and he says, just look at the, he goes through and he says that Eliyahu is not only going to be present at the Brit Milah, he also is going to be present at the Brit that we perform, if you like, on Seder night, when we get together as families and we reaffirm our commitment to living a life of Torah and mitzvahs and Zechirat Yisias Mitzrayim, etc. Look at the last paragraph of this. Oh, just two lines up from the last paragraph. Im kein hachad zachinu v'kayim min hagam shel Yisrael. This is why there's a Jewish minhag b'leil Pesach la'achin lo kosem nusa, a cup of faith, okay? Umasev Shulchan Aruch, okay, Shebo Yisrael Makaimim Es HaPesach, that we are keeping Pesach, She'echad Mechukasei Mishpatei Ma'isharim, Hu Yisbarach, Asher Tziva Alav, Akol Ore Lo Yoichel Bo. There is a non-circumcised person may not eat from the Korban Pesach. There is a very strong connection between Mila and Pesach. La'avi et Shmato, okay, Achiv, Machmat Mila. It's someone whose brother has died because of Korban Pesach, even someone because of Bris Mila, even somebody who didn't have a Bris Mila, the heter is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. Now look at the last paragraph. Well, the doubt of Yeshua, afiru mila tavadav ma'akfasoi, even having servants without a Bris Mila stops the master mila echol pesach from eating Korban Pesach. Mimai, dichsir, because it says in the pasuk mila umalsa oisoi, you must give the eved a mila as yoichel bo, only then can he eat. Who he? The master can eat. Uvalayu rishonish nitkama mitzvah zo ma'achilas pesach hutzruchu l'chaim mitzvahs mila. This night that we do Korban Pesach is linked inextricably with Korban mila, with mitzvahs mila. Okay. Which we say both at a bris and at on Seder night. Shidarshu Chazal dashend zed dam mila b'damai chayi b'damai chayi. This is the blood of mila and the blood of Pesach. Im vada lahagid shebachen shel Yisrael. Okay. Well, a half kir lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu shehem kaimin mashi kiblu b'mitzvahs Pesach. That the Eliyahu has to be there to confirm, yes, we're keeping Mila, yes, we're keeping Pesach. Ein kan sofek, there is no question, he says, Kiba yavo birkas Eliyahu, the brocha of Eliyahu comes, b'chol bati Yisrael liroi kium ha-mitzvah acha shehi shtayim, this mitzvah which is double mitzvah, Pesach and Mila. Now again, he said the brocha of Eliyahu comes. Does Eliyahu himself come to the Seder night? Now on a Mila, we set up a chair and say this is Kisei Shel Eliyahu. And there may be a link, by the way, I just thought of this, between Kais and Kisei. Kais Shel Eliyahu, Kisei Shel Eliyahu. The Orach HaShulchan, interestingly, a Litvak from Navardak, says, look in number 29, over the page on page 7, he says at the end, Yesh Shehayu Noigim La'amoid Meheseba. There are those that have a minhag to stand up at this point when you open the door. V'lomar and say, Baruch Haba. Say Baruch Haba. That Eliyahu is coming, Baruch Haba. V'hakol l'chizuk ha'emunah. All of this is mechazik our emunah. Ki kach anu mekubalim shebenissan niglu benissan asidim b'goyah. The Nissan is a month of Geula for the Jewish people. The Nodi B'Yehuda used to escort, quote unquote, Eliyahu down the steps of his house after the Seder. The custom amongst many Hasidim, bells of Hasidim, is to accompany Eliyahu to the nearest shul, which is very interesting indeed. The Lubavitcher Rebbe writes that Eliyahu Ke'ilu becomes one of those seated at the Seder table. Does Eliyahu drink from the wine? I know that's what they all tell, you tell your grandchildren that Eliyahu is drinking from the wine. Is that just a bubimeister? Well, a good question. I brought you here. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe actually had a minhag to add a little bit of wine from the bottle to kosher Eliyahu before he would put it back in the bottle to use it the next day. Why? Because he said, like yain pogum, if the wine has been drunk from, you have to pour a little bit in from the bottle in order to make it fit again to make kiddush on, and therefore Ke'ilu, the wine has been drunk from by Eliyahu HaNavi, maybe not exactly, but the minhag was to reinforce this idea that Eliyahu is very much a presence. And that is for us the fifth. Now, does anybody drink five cups today? The answer is, I've never been at a Seder where they drink five cups. The Yemenites, some of the Teimanim, follow the minhag of the Rambam, and they have five cups of the Seder, in a different way, a little bit to Kosher Eliyahu, but it doesn't mean that they drink them necessarily. However, some Hasidim do drink five cups. The Kotsk minhag, Sokachov, Ishbitz, the minhag was to drink five cups. The Regina Haggadah says that some people drink the fifth cup and connect it with the Haggadah of the Maharal, which we're going to get to right now. Therefore, there are some who do drink a fifth cup. We'll see Rav Menachem Kasher tried very hard to bring this back in. But the Maharal is where we need to move next for the last part of the shir. We saw before the Maharshal, Rav Shlomo Luria in Poland, said, no, our minhag is not to have five cups. We just don't do that anymore. Fine, except the Kosher Eliyahu, that's a different thing entirely. We have four cups, not five. The Maharal's Haggadah Divrei Nagidim, appears to say that you drink five cups at the Seder night. This is something of a bombshell, because where would the Maharal have that minhag from? We've seen, yes, many of the Sfardi Rishonim, the Gaonim, maybe even back into the Chazal, the fifth cup was a real issue. But by Ashkenaz, the Maharal living in Poland, in the 16th century, there should really be nobody Ashkenazi drinking a fifth cup. So where do we find this? So this opens up a whole story, which I just want to mention in brief. There are some wonderful shirim online by Rav Shnia Lyman that deal with this issue specifically. But here's the story of the Maharal's Haggadah. Some of you may know it, but if you don't, then it's worth thinking a little bit about. The Maharal's Haggadah was discovered in the early 20th century in a manuscript, which was apparently compiled by the son-in-law of the Maharal, Rav Yitzchak Katz of Nikolsburg. It was discovered by someone called Rav Yoshua Yudel Rosenberg, who lived at the time in Warsaw. Rav Rosenberg was born in 1859. He served as a rav, as a dayan. He was a very chosh of posek. He wrote an important complex work on the Dorim. He was a very serious character. And he discovered this manuscript, and he published in 1905, he published the Maharal's Haggadah, based on the manuscript, which was, I brought you on the sheet there, the front page in Warsaw, published in 1905, Taf Reish Samach Hey, the Haggadah of the Maharal, Divrei Nagidim. Rosenberg was good at finding manuscripts also. In 1909, he published another book based on a manuscript, which had all the stories of the Maharal and the Golem. Now, there were much older references to the Maharal making a Golem, but this was the first time there were detailed accounts, stories of that. And then finally, in 1913, Rav Rosenberg published another work called The Kohen Gadol's Choshen Mishpat. This, he said, was based on another manuscript, written by Rav Menoyach Hendel, who was a student, a Talmud of the Maharal, who died in 1612, this manuscript apparently told a story that Rav Hendel said he heard from the Maharal himself about the apparent involvement of the Maharal in the rediscovery of the Choshen Mishpat, or at least parts of it. Apparently, so the manuscript says, 12 precious jewels of the Choshen Mishpat somehow had made their way to England, where they were kept at a museum called the Belmore Street Museum. In 1590, the Maharal discovered that they had been stolen, and he tried to go to find them in London, and so they could be returned and kept safe. And apparently, according to this manuscript, he found in London an antique collector called Captain Wilson. This is all in the manuscript. Who it turned out was the thief who'd stolen the jewels from the Choshen Mishpat. The Maharal offered to buy them back, and the whole story played out. The Maharal brought some spiritual mayhem on Captain Wilson through Kabbalistic miracles. But once the time was up, Wilson agreed to basically give the stones back for nothing and just ran away, happy to escape with his life. And that's how the stones of the Choshen Mishpat, according to this manuscript, were restored by the Maharal. There's a bit of a problem here, though, because this story about the high priest's breastplate was actually written around 15 years before Rav Rosenberg released it. It was actually written by none other than Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And it's very evident that Rav Rosenberg actually took this, plagiarized this story, and he presumably had read it in Russian translation in Warsaw or something of that nature. He was pretty confident that nobody would ever have read Arthur Conan Doyle's stories, and therefore no one would ever realize that the Hebrew version or the Yiddish version was actually the same. He didn't even change the names of the individuals. Captain Wilson and the Belmont Street Museum were actually in the original that Conan Doyle wrote, the Belmore Street Museum, were actually in the original. So it's clear that the story of the Maharal's Choshen Mishpat escapade was completely fabricated. Rav Rosenberg wrote this as a novel, as a light story. The question is, what's with the Haggadah? Is that the truth? Is that the true of the Haggadah story as well? The claim that this manuscript was in the Royal Library in Metz clearly is not true. There was no Royal Library in Metz. A lot of the same is true of the Golem stories as well. And it may be that actually Rav Rosenberg wrote these, and he says elsewhere, and again Rav Lyman has a very detailed historical analysis of where he says this. He wrote these as a light entertainment for children, some stories that they could read, inspirational stories. It could be therefore that the Haggadah was actually not authentic at all. And the idea that the Maharal drank the fifth cup cannot be relied upon. There are aspects of the Haggadah, by the way, which are based on the Maharal's own work in his Peirushim and his commentaries. But the idea that the Maharal drank a fifth cup has to now be regarded with extreme skepticism, which would actually fit. Rav Rosenberg, by the way, went to live in Canada. He went to live in Toronto and then went to live in Montreal, where he became one of the Choshev Rabbonim in Montreal, and he died there in 1935. He never accepted that the Maharal's Haggadah was not authentic, although I think we have to regard this with some skepticism at this stage. But that doesn't take away anything from the validity that the fifth cup was a very big deal. And I brought you just at the end, just in the last minute, Rav Menachem Kasher tried very hard to lobby the Rabbanut to actually institute a fifth cup, because he felt that this idea of the Hevesi, the fifth Lashon of Geula, now that we, Baruch Hashem, have come back to Eretz Yisrael, is something that we should now be reinstituting. He never succeeded in persuading the Rabbanut to make this into a fixed item in the Seder. However, I brought you at the bottom of the page from Rav Kasher's Haggadah, his own introductions, his ideas of what a person should say. They should have the fifth cup, they should drink the fifth cup, they should say, Hine Muchon Mezuman, Lekai Mitzvahs Kois Chamishi, Shehu Keneged Besoros HaYeshua, Shama Kodesh Baruch Hu LeYisrael, I'm looking at the last box, Behevesi Etchen El Haaretz Hashem Nasati Et Yadi, etc., etc. And he says you should drink the fifth cup, the Simcha, in the knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, at least in part, fulfilled this promise of Geula for us. So there you are, the story of the fifth cup. Very fascinating, halachically intricate, hashkafically relevant. And even quite intriguing when it comes to this issue of the Maharal's Haggadah and the whole story of the manuscripts. Much more to say. I brought you a lot more in the footnotes here, where you can find more information on all of these issues that we've raised. But I think that gives us a very good overview, at least, of the fifth cup. And yet, Hashem, in these very, very challenging times, we daven that we should be able to move into Nisan with some elements of emunah, like the Haggadah talks about, and the idea that even though we're living in times which are not poshut at all, we have confidence that this is just a process. Kodesh Baruch Hu should bring us redemption, Geula Shleima Be'ezrat Hashem. We should all be well, and we should be able to make use of these times that we have to learn Torah and to strengthen our chizuk Be'ezrat Hashem for ourselves and for other people. In Yet Hashem, this should be the first of a number of shirim. We will touch base again. Hopefully this shir will go out to people. Maybe even we'll be able to live stream the next one. But for now, I wish you a very successful day and a very successful week. Mm-hmm.